B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably gonna talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformer sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, all over your podcast page on WRAF.com, as well as part of the B-Pod Studios network, so you can download us pretty much wherever you get your podcast. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm joined by James.
Hello.
And Albeck.
It's so much brighter in here.
I know.
There's a window in this studio.
If we sound a little bit different, it's because we're in a completely different studio. We're actually in Jade's studio today.
That's right.
Yeah, we're in a studio they actually spend a little money on. Equipment.
Right. So the equipment is in better shape. There, like you said, there's a window in here, so there's some sunlight coming in. It's almost a mirror image. It's the, what did you call it, James?
The Bizarro World. It's the same,
bizarro,
but different.
Yeah.
It's like Bizarro Studio.
It's the Bizarro Studio.
Because we're kind of still standing in the same spot.
Yeah.
On like a similar counter. You're still sitting in the similar spot, like in your chair behind the computer.
Yeah.
But then there's just other stuff behind you that's not usually there.
All the background stuff is different.
And then this room's got a bit of a feminine touch to it.
It does. And we've got a stack of useless dats in front of me.
Yeah. I see that.
There's some roses and trophies.
Yep. There's much more of a celebration in this room.
Yes,
that's true.
Because the other one's more of a cemetery where equipment goes to die.
Exactly.
Jamie, better be careful. We're going to permanently squat in this studio.
This will just
be where Nerd Radio happens.
And then we all get an ass whooping.
Yeah.
That's true. She's small, but she's fierce.
Yeah.
No, I got a poster stuck in my finger. Okay, it's Ghost. I don't want
to. So this is a big week because E3 is this week, the big electronic entertainment expo.
Yeah, lots of video game news.
Absolutely. We'll get into that a little bit later with Kenny. He's got some stuff he wanted to talk about there. But one of the things I definitely wanted to bring up, I think I told Al this during the overnight the other night, because over the weekend, one of the presentations was Bethesda Software, and they are in charge of the Borderlands series.
Mm-hmm.
Borderlands 3 is coming out.
Yeah,
in the fall,
right?
Which is a big deal. We talked last week about the free game this month on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, the Handsome Collection or something.
Borderlands
like that.
Handsome Collection. And the important news about this is they released new downloadable content for Borderlands 2 as soon as they had their Borderlands 3 thing at E3 that's supposed to bridge the gap between Borderlands 2 and Borderlands 3. Borderlands 2 is over, like a five plus year old game.
Yeah, because isn't like the pre-sequel like even like newer than that one?
Yes.
Than Borderlands 2?
Yeah, the pre-sequel came out like 2 years later.
Okay.
But you can download it now for your Xbox One or your PlayStation 4.
Now, is this a free downloadable content?
It is free.
Oh, okay. There you go.
The first problem I had was like, oh man, it's one of the downloadable content things. So it's built for you to play after you've played through the game. And I've had the Handsome Collection for 7 days. There's no way I have a character that's the appropriate level.
Ah.
They thought of that. You can start a character at level 30.
Okay.
With all the experience points that you can put into your stuff, so you don't have to play through the whole game to get to this downloadable content.
Can you then take that level 30 character and put it back into?
There you go. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we broke the system, Bethesda.
I like
it. You broke Fallout.
I still haven't gone and redeemed the free.
Do you need me to just text you?
Yes, I probably. Should you have to? No.
Right.
But
just to remind you, it was like, Al, boot up your PlayStation 4.
It's pathetic. I mean, you remember my comic book shopping list for me.
I do. What was it?
I think he's almost your personal comic shopper.
Yeah. Well, I've got two comic guys.
Yep.
Both of them sort of look out for me because I am a child. I'm a 97-year-old child.
Well, you had me last week buy you some boards.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, that whole fiasco.
Do you want to tell our listeners the story of that?
Well,
I think it's funny because it makes you angry.
It does make me so angry. It was an Amazon purchase that Amazon made good. So I want to say that up front.
You're not mad at Amazon?
No, I am not.
You're just mad at Bezos?
Yeah, I'm not taking on Amazon. That would be quite bold.
I'd help you in that battle.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't win, but I would help you.
I bag and board all my comics, and I was running low, so I bought a bundle of 200 of these things, save a couple bucks.
Right.
And so they ship it to me, and I get the package, and it's like seems really light, so I open it up, and all they sent me was the bags. Okay, well, that's half of my order, but so I go on Amazon, and hey, whatever, stuff happens. And I just want to contact them and let them know, hey, only half the thing showed up. Just send the rest of it and I'm fine. Like, mm-hmm. I can wait. That's fine.
He's an easy customer to deal with.
Right.
Well, if it's me, I want a refund and I want double what I ordered and I want a gift card to McDonald's.
He's not looking to
pile it on, Bezos.
I'm pretty easygoing, I would say, unless, you know, well, until the end of the story.
Right.
But so I try to contact him, but I'm doing it through the app or whatever. I can't find a phone number to call them to save my life. So now I am starting to get irritated. I just want to call them and explain that. So you do the app or the website and they require you to ship the thing back. They'll give you a label. It's not like you got to pay for the shipping, but you got to go out of your way to find a UPS store to drop the thing off, yada, yada, yada. So I finally like, fine, I don't care. I'll do that. I don't really have time, but okay, whatever. I just need my bags and boards. Drop it off, ship it, fine. Next day, the new order shows up. Just the boards this time. So
they sent me the other bags.
The other half, the half that was, this is all I wanted them to do to begin with, but you made me ship back the bags to get the boards.
At least if you had the bags, you could still put the comics in the bags.
So now I'm furious. And something else had happened earlier that day, like an interaction with a person that had me really, really mad.
Oh, but wasn't me.
No, it was not okay. You. No, but then I come home and I happen to see that they sent just the boards. So Amazon got both barrels. I did call them up and I just lit into this lady. I'm just like, oh, son of a bitch.
That poor Amazon.
Making sure.
That poor phone bank in Bangladesh who had to deal with Al calling and just unloading on Bend Over or whatever his name is.
Exactly. And I was very careful not to swear. Because when you call a call center, they cannot hang up on you unless you swear at them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as soon as they hear
it. Is that a trick?
Yeah, it's a
no
trick.
No wonder I get hung up on so often.
If you swear,
first word out of my mouth.
If you swear, they can say, well, it's not, I mean, it's obviously not like a rule or anything like that, but like, but I think it is like sort of an unspoken thing. If you swear at them, they can say, I don't have to listen to that language. Click. But if you never swear, they have to sit there and take it.
I wonder if the automated calls run under that as well, yeah. Like the robocalls you get. I wonder if you swear at them if they've got a pre-programmed, I don't have to listen to this.
Well, the other
no, what that does is it just takes your number and puts you on another list to call you more often about more things
you
don't need. Yeah, that's why you just ignore them.
Yeah. So I unloaded on this poor lady, and the other trick to get stuff done.
It'd be really funny if you actually called the wrong number. And you're just unloading on some old lady. Her name is like Amanda or something.
You know,
like,
hi, Amanda. Acres.
Yeah.
We're just a company that like ships things to the Amazon.
Well,
Amazon.com.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. We ship shoes to people who live in the Amazon because they got no shoes.
And you're yelling at me.
And that's the other thing, too. Is like,
did you get plastic bags?
So often. Yeah, so often. Yeah. And really, if you think about it, I'm using plastic bags. I'm suffocating the environment.
Do you know how many fish have died to save your comics?
I'm the true villain in this story.
I bet you just throw straws away, too, don't you?
Yeah, right. But, like, it's another one of those things where Amazon's really just the middleman. It's a seller through Amazon or whatever.
Right.
But the other trick to getting what you want when you do like a customer complaint line is you tell the person on the phone, like, listen, like, I know this isn't your fault.
Yep.
Like, you're just the one dealing with me. And I'm sorry. I am upset. And I'm sorry that I'm yelling at you. I know it's not your fault. And all of a sudden the tune changes because you know what? She's been screwed over by Amazon too. And she's like, you know what? That's right.
That's awesome.
you know she has.
She's like, hey, well, I'm going to put you in
all sorts of stuff. Cause she's like, well, they really want you to send it back. I'm like, not an option. I did that once when I didn't have time. And now you screwed it up a second time. Not sending again. Sorry. I'm not mad at you, but I am mad. Not going to send it back. I'll eat the cost first. And she goes, we won't let you do that. Yeah. Just keep it. So I get these free boards. Yeah, I should get these free boards. So I talked to Chuck. He works at a comic store. Like, hey, man, here's the story. Can you bring me 200 bags to complete my order? And he goes, yeah, no problem. So he goes, he picks them up. He brings them in. Get my next, I have my comic book drug deal out in the parking lot here at work.
Your dealer showed up. With
take
the good
that
stuff.
Home. I always sit down. I put them, I got such a weird ritual. I put them all in the order in which I intend to read them.
Right.
And then I bag and board them all, and I put them in my stack. It's a whole psychotic ritual of mine.
It sounds very OCD.
It is. And I get upset when people start flipping through.
74
like,
comics
in
the stack. 74 comics in the stack.
Please keep them in order.
Keep them in order. There's an order to it. And then I go to Bag and Boredom, and I open up those boards and find out they are comic extenders. I've never even heard of it. But this poster, it's thinner than this poster. Here. Useless.
It's a piece of paper.
It's useless. It's not even the cardboard. It's a glossy paper.
What is a comic extender?
Exactly. For what? What am I extending?
I've been collecting comics for like 20 years.
So they screwed up.
Yes, they screwed up.
Or something. So it's some loss in translation or just a scam. Like all the stuff I buy in the Geek app is always just garbage.
Oh my God, it was awful. But, you know, at least I didn't pay for them. Because I yelled at that sweet lady.
I'm glad you didn't have to pay for all that.
So I'd have Chuck buy the boards as well for me.
Okay. So
I'm going to have Chuck come over and bag them and board them for you, too.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Next thing, I'm just going to be reading his comics and telling him what they were about.
Yeah.
You already do.
Speaking of which. 10 more years down that road, he'd be wiping his ass.
That's half of this show is you just telling me what I didn't read.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you catch up on The Walking Dead yet?
I went through and pulled all three of the issues I was behind on out since last episode when you told me that.
I really want to hear what you think about what's going on in the comic.
Well, it will happen this weekend. I was going to do it the other day, but I was just too tired.
I looked up these comic book extenders. Yeah. It sounds like you're supposed to put these in front of and behind a comic in a bag to keep sunlight from hitting it.
Okay. So I need those in addition? No.
Just put it in a box.
I file them in long and or short boxes, so we're good there.
They're already in boxes, and it's like...
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Did anybody listening to Nerd Radio, do you use comic book extenders? Hit us up on our social media at Nerd Radio 101.
And if you do, I've got 200 of them for you.
I was looking to offload some of them.
Seriously, I'm looking at these things like, what am I going to do with this? I might have just ended up taking to the recycling center. I mean, would your store want them?
I doubt it. I've never heard of these things.
They're all stocked up on glossy paper. Thanks, Al. Yep. Appreciate that.
I mean, I've heard of, like, they've got the boards now that are clear. So they're like clear plastic, so you can see the back of it.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Very cool.
They're twice as expensive, which is not awesome. But, you know, but these things, like, helps prevent yellowing, absorbs and neutralizes contaminants. Coated on two sides. Only two sheets per book are necessary. Does that mean at some point in the past you had to put more than two sheets in there?
Well, ideally you would
double bag it. Like
you would think you would have a board in there. If you're going to go to the extent that you're going to use these extenders, what's that name all about? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it shares a name with a boner pill you buy at the gas station.
They're extending the life of your comic or making your comic hard for longer.
Perfect.
My comic is so hard
right now. Oh, my gosh.
I saw
Squirrel Girl.
I'll have to get some of those for the Bat Dog.
Definitely not Squirrel Girl.
It's perfect for the Bat Dog issue, which Al still has not brought in the show.
And I won't. I know what
I'll see that Bat Dog one of these days.
I took care of it. I brought it in for you, remember?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You did bring it in.
He really wants my Bat Dog.
I want Al's because I know it bothers him so much that I want
to. It's fun to tease Al about it. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just like, hey, wait a minute. You've seen the Bat Dog.
Chuck's like, I will peddle your porn. Here you go. Check this out. Look at this Bat Wiener.
Oh, trust me. Trust me. I see some stuff in there that makes me think, like, you know, there's porn on the internet, right?
Bruce Wang.
Oh, Bruce Wang. Yeah, I like it.
Well done, sir.
I'm the more manly, I can't think of a good word. Oh, endowed.
Yeah.
I'm the more well-endowed Bruce.
Oh, God. All right. Well,
Al's current goings-on with Amazon.com. Well, like I said, we're going to...
Man, I can't wait till Al learns about Priceline and books a hotel or something.
Guess who is not sponsoring this podcast, by the way?
Yeah, well, as James said a couple of weeks ago, if you want us to say nice things about you, you sponsor us. Yeah. Otherwise, everyone's under fire.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it is a big company, so they took care of me. That seller, though, I'm not going to mention who the seller was, but I'm done with them.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it right.
All right, well, that story was well done, but what was not well done is the release of X-Men Dark Phoenix this past weekend, and we'll talk about that and more coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Hope you cleared out your DVR. We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Oh, I've wasted my life.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio. You can find us on social media, Nerd Radio 101, and of course, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, wherever you're getting your podcast. It is Chuck Bean, Al Beck, and James sitting in the studio here in Jade's fancy studio.
Mm.
I'm enjoying getting some sunlight.
Lots of cats,
which I'm cool with, too.
Yeah.
I'm a cat person, so
yeah.
I dig it. And
cats
talking about
coffee seem to be the theme.
Yeah, there's a giant, let's get a picture of Jade's
giant coffee mug.
I was going to post it, but then I realized that this takes place days like apart.
Yeah, I was kind of interested to see where you're going with that.
Yeah, right. So never mind. I'm not going to post a picture.
Can you make a cover image or something for the podcast?
For the podcast
itself?
Or something like that?
Like a teaser image?
We'll have to get a release from her that we can post her coffee mug.
I'm not even going to go that far. I've already abandoned the idea.
I was going to say, that's way more work than Al Beck is prepared to do.
Exactly.
I understand this.
Oh, God.
Al needs people to read comics for him.
So this past week, they released the final X-Men movie from 20th Century Fox, X-Men Dark Phoenix. I think I know the answer to this question. Did anybody in this room go and see it?
No.
Nope.
And it shows, because according to Deadline, the movie cost over $350 million to make, and is the final box office total worldwide is estimated to be $285 million.
Ouch.
They're going to take a loss on this movie. And I got to say, whenever like other movies have come out and I haven't gone like opening weekend to see them, typically I hear a lot of good things about them. And somebody would be like, hey, did you go and see this? No, but I've heard nothing but good things. This was the exact opposite.
Really?
All weekend long, I heard nothing but bad things about this movie. The one that really stuck with me is that in order to closely mirror the original Dark Phoenix saga in the X-Men comics, it has a scene where the X-Men go to space and save some astronauts, and then Jean has to hold together the shuttle while some cosmic radiation comes through the shuttle. So she has to telekinetically hold the shuttle together and try and funnel out the radiation. Right. So that's how she gets killed.
And Al thinks it's hard ordering papers and boards for comics.
He certainly couldn't do that.
Try holding the shuttle together, Al.
No.
So that happens in this movie, and that's kind of how the Dark Phoenix happened. The only problem being, in the last movie, X-Men Apocalypse, the way they beat Apocalypse is by Jean using Phoenix.
Yes.
So it could like...
How did I know? What?
Completely ignoring the fact that it's happened once already. They act like this is a totally new thing.
Okay.
How do they botch that? How do you botch that?
It's one of those. There's so many people.
Well, a nerd's never going to notice a detail like that.
It's one of those things. There are so many people working on these things. How does nobody go, wait.
Yeah, you're really going up against the wrong audience to forget about something like that.
God. So I don't know.
Okay.
I'm a little surprised
that you didn't go opening weekend, because, I mean, unless you were super busy over the weekend.
I was busy, but at the same time, it doesn't sound like it's worth the money.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's worth the, $12 to $14 to go. I might go during a $5 afternoon showing at some point.
Yeah.
And it's another thing, I have a girlfriend / fiance now, so when I go to the movie, she wants to come with me, so that's... I got to pay for that, too.
You got to buy two tickets.
Right. And I'm like, I don't.
You got to negotiate sharing a popcorn. Okay. Well, which candy do you want?
That's why most of the time.
I was hoping just for a pop.
Most of the time when.
Sounds like James is working through some stuff over here.
Right. When we go to a movie, it's a matter of, it's the Marvel movies, because we know we're both going to have a good time.
Yeah.
We have to gauge, is one of us going to sit there going, here we go to see a Star Wars movie, because we know we're both going to see it. She hasn't even seen the last, what's the new Harry Potter franchise? Like, she didn't even see the second one.
Oh, Fantastic Beasts.
Because I didn't see the first one.
I was going to say Simple Creatures.
Yeah.
I think that's something else. That's a band of Mark Hoppus.
Right.
Yeah. But still, it surprised me, because X-Men's your jam, man.
X-Men is my jam. I was telling you over the weekend, I've started to institute a new rule with my comics.
Yes.
In that if I'm not so excited to read the book the week it comes out that I have to get it, I don't know that I necessarily need the book.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to be. We've talked about this on the show before, but that's how I started weeding out my DVR.
Yeah.
I used to have this enormous list of shows that I was, quote, watching, But I was, I mean, it was just, it was too much. It wasn't fun anymore. Mm-hmm. So I started to have this, like, it was like the phone rule. If I kept looking at my phone, clearly I'm not into this and I don't need to be watching it. And I bailed on it.
Man, if that was the, if that was the rule, I would have bailed on Monday Night Raw months ago. I'm always on my phone during, there's always segments of Raw where I'm like, I don't care about this match. I'm going to look at this phone here. I'm going to.
I feel like that's how I felt about wrestling always, though. There's always, I feel like one of the reasons why something. I enjoy watching it is because I know there's stuff I'm really excited for.
Yeah.
But then there's also stuff that I'm just like, eh, hey, whatever. I'm just going to be on in the background and I'll be entertained by it, but I can also work on something on my phone or I can do other stuff.
Right, for
it's
sure.
Not like
the problem is that we've talked briefly about this on the show, but WWE is kind of in such a rut right now that even when there's two guys that I really like, I'm still on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that's a different situation. Though, because it can exist in the background,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like, you know, you missed that big line or the big plot point,
right?
You know, if they come out and start doing, you know, promos on microphones, I'm sure you put your phone down and you, okay, what's going on?
Or it could be a story arc for some wrestlers I just don't care about,
right?
You know, I don't really care if you're gonna arm wrestle, you know, arm wrestle. I saw Over the Top, I know how it works,
right?
Because I'm not really into sports, like, I like the Lions, show up to watch a Lions game, but. I like my Detroit teams, but I don't really care enough to sit down and watch a Tigers game. But sitting there reading, I might put a Tigers game on in the background. And then when you kind of keep an ear open for the, and it's back to the wall. Well, I'll take a look at that.
Okay, I want to see that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You know, that could exist in the background and I don't need to watch every second of it. But yeah, so I think it's different. Wrestling, sports.
It's a sports entertainment kind of thing. You're listening to the commentators for something fun to happen.
Right. But you don't need to watch and hang on every moment of it.
That's true. Speaking of wrestling, James, you saw that thing last Friday?
The thing that they tried to call the Super Showdown? Yeah. You mean Undertaker almost getting killed?
Yeah.
And,
and nearly murdering Goldberg with that. I saw GIFs of it. I haven't even gone back to watch it.
Goldberg messes up how he's supposed to. Be taking a tombstone.
Yeah, the Undertaker gave his tombstone pile driver to Bill Goldberg, and it looked like when Owen Hart broke Steve Austin's neck. Goldberg's head connects with the mat. The top of Goldberg's head connects with the mat.
Well, his head connected to a couple of things that match.
And then later on, Goldberg tries to give him that big jackhammer suplex he does like that, and Undertaker's kind of a long dude.
Yeah.
So he gets him about here, and then falls.
Just drops him backwards. On his neck. Yeah. He dropped him right on his neck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's, what, like 6'11", something like that?
Yeah,
6'10"?
He's real tall. I think he's 7 foot something.
Dude, it was like watching a really
Undertaker?
Bad car
I don't think
accident.
He's 7 feet.
No. I can look it up. I don't know. We all have access to the internet.
He's from Death Valley.
He is from Death Valley for sure. But
he was my favorite when I was a kid, man. I loved the Undertaker.
I loved that.
I think
Friday,
he does like real estate and stuff on the side.
Yeah. I love that Friday afternoon, like people had the picture of right after the match, like Undertaker's got this look on his face. And for a guy who's like his entire character is to not
6'10".
All right. Fair enough. For a guy whose entire character is to not emote.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a pat on the head.
Good job, Al. You use the internet. Yep. Nice job.
Attaboy, Al.
Yep.
You used the Google machine.
I did use the Google machine.
For a guy who's supposed to be very stone-faced and not emote, like, there are times where you can just see in his eyes, like, what he's feeling.
Oh, you could tell after the match he was pissed.
Yeah, he had this look on his face like, I shouldn't even, this should never have happened. I shouldn't have come over here. I shouldn't have taken the paycheck. I should have just stayed retired.
Well, I feel like there was like two moments in the match where it was supposed to already be done. Like, should have already finished it.
Yeah.
But I think as Goldberg concussed himself. He hit his head on one of the ring posts.
Yep.
And concussed himself. He was bleeding within minutes of this match starting. And I think he like kicked out of something he wasn't supposed to. And as the match went on, the Undertaker looked more and more pissed.
Right.
And then once it got dropped on the neck, I was like, he's maximum pissed.
It's one of those matches you start to watch because like somebody's really gonna punch somebody.
Yeah, like someone's gonna die. I'm gonna watch a death. It's gonna be real bad,
and it's not gonna be entertaining. So let's talk about something that is entertaining.
Yes,
let's talk about me and Al talked about the Batman White Knight series.
Mm-hmm.
We were huge fans of
Sean Murphy, right?
Yeah, Sean Murphy writing and drawing that. The sequel to that coming out this summer.
I didn't realize that
Batman Curse of the White Knight. And Sean Murphy revealed on Twitter just a picture, just a panel from the upcoming book, which reveals why Harley Quinn has the three diamond logo on her stuff.
Okay.
And in the panel, it shows the Joker handing Harley a th- Three of Diamonds with he has written on it, "Don't give up on me."
Huh.
So it's according to Sean Murphy, at least in this version of the Batman mythos, that is actually the origin of Harley, why Harley wears the Three of Diamonds on her outfit and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. I thought that was a cool thing.
And when is that supposed to start?
Batman White Knight, I believe, is in July. July 24th is when issue one hits.
I'll have to talk to Worm, make sure that's on my list.
Absolutely.
Because that the first one was really good.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I don't know if James, if you remember us talking about it, to kind of an Elseworlds title where the Joker, after fighting Batman during a particular outing, actually, while he's in the hospital, becomes sane again.
Okay.
And then takes Gotham City to court because they've let this vigilante run around and beat people up for the last however many years.
Okay.
Turns out all along, Joker's just been off his meds.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's really all it was.
A bit of a hormonal imbalance.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And there were two different Harleys?
Yeah, there were. Yeah. There was it explains why Harley went from like wearing the unitard like in the animated series, mm-hmm, to wearing like the Suicide Squad stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was the booty shorts and everything like that. It's because there was a second Harley. Like Harley left and another girl came in and took her place and he never noticed.
Gotcha. Well, the replacement, I think, is superior in hotness.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, which one's Margot Robbie?
Yeah, right.
I'll take that one.
I'm like, oh, no, that's not who I was. No, the other one.
Before we dive into the E3 stuff with Kenny, there's one thing I wanted to talk about. We don't talk a lot about music here, even though because I think it's a given. We all work at a rock and roll station.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we have bands that we are nerds about, that we're super psyched about. But I wanted to talk to you guys about, have you heard this Radiohead story that's been going on over the past couple of weeks?
I just read headlines, hackers or something got a hold of some tapes.
Yeah, that's about all I know, too.
Yeah, so some hackers...
Which recording session?
Got a hold of some of Tom York, the lead singer of Radiohead's mini disc. He used to record everything on mini disc, and then he backed it all up on his hard drive somewhere. So somebody hacked his hard drive and got all these demos and B-sides and like rough drafts of all these songs from around 96, 97.
Like
which
OK
was
Computer? Android stuff?
Yeah, I think it's between like OK Computer... And probably Jade's getting a phone call.
Hello, who is it?
It's between OK Computer and like Kid A kind of stuff. Okay. So it's a lot of those songs. Mm-hmm. It's them demoing those songs ahead of recording OK Computer, as well as you get to hear some of the Kid A Insomniac songs, you know, before those were in there. So these hackers got all these songs and then emailed Radiohead or Tom York and was like, hey, we'll release all this stuff on the internet unless you give us $150,000. And Radiohead said, no, we're not giving you any money because you stole stuff from us. So they released it on the internet last week. Mm-hmm. And of course, Radiohead fans, myself among them, were people on Reddit were like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Listen to all these, you know, cool demos, something like that. So a couple of days ago, Radiohead released all of them officially on Bandcamp for about $18.
Oh, wow.
It's essentially the equivalent of like a 14 or 16 disc box set.
Holy crap.
Of demos that you can go on Bandcamp and spend about, I think it's $16 to $18, and you get each of them is one MP3, so like an MP3, an hour's worth of demos. They're not all individually labeled, but all the Radiohead fans on Reddit have made a Google document labeling what songs are where.
Oh, nice.
And what versions of songs are where, which
music
is pretty
nerds
great.
On the internet unite.
That's right.
Thank you guys so much. But they're giving all the proceeds to like a charity.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, that's the other thing. That's
very cool.
These hackers trying to bribe Radiohead. Radiohead, didn't they release an album and say, pay whatever you want for
they
it?
They did.
Yeah. So like this is the band you're going to try and get money out? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they don't give an F.
Like I knew how that story was going to end before you told it. Like,
right.
Yeah. Radiohead, they're so big to where they can do whatever they want.
Oh, right? Yeah.
They go on particular tour and they don't play the songs everybody wants to hear.
That particular,
because they're sick of playing them.
That particular album, OK Computer, was like the album that launched them into we can do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, I don't like most Radiohead's output after OK Computer. Mm-hmm. The first three albums are...
I'm with you.
That's my Radiohead.
I'm with you on that.
I really dig that stuff. Everything after that just sounds like they're jamming in a room, and that doesn't really do anything for me. However, I would never tell them you're not allowed to do, like, go back to doing what I like.
Yeah,
like, right, no, yeah. You're artists. Like,
because there's some stuff that I'm like, is this just the dude on acid with some electrical instruments behind him? I'm like, what? It's just making noises.
Right. But I thought that was a super cool story, and it's neat that you can go on Bandcamp right now. You can stream it off of Bandcamp, or you can buy it and then, you know, own the MP3s of
which is fantastic. The only motive behind it is just to stop the hackers.
Yeah, it'll just be like, all right, well, you know, you've already released this stuff out there, so let's...
$18, so somebody who's looking for it can easily find it at Bandcamp or whatever, buy it, then that money's going to go towards a charity.
Radiohead fans don't have to, like, you know, go into the dark web and figure out where they can find these MP3s and possibly F up their computers or their phones trying to find it.
Some sort of weird virus, kitty porn, whatever,
That's something that occurred to me, too, because my band is also on Bandcamp, and I didn't look to see how much Bandcamp takes from, like, when they sell something for you, but, like, imagine they take even 1%. Imagine the amount of money they're gonna make off this. Imagine they don't take anything just on traffic alone,
right?
Ad clicks and everything.
Holy moly, that's a gold mine. I wonder if there were extra websites that they thought of before Bandcamp that they were like, well, we could put it on our site, we could do this, we could do this.
Yeah, surprised they didn't just do it on their own site, but then they probably have to have somebody to process payments and do all that stuff. So it's easier to have something in place that we just upload three MP3s and then we can go doing Radiohead stuff.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up too is, can you imagine being like the person at Bandcamp that got the email from somebody at Radiohead?
Sure. Radiohead saying, oh my God.
Sure, Mr. Tom York, whatever. Wait a second.
That's pretty much the...
No, it's official.
To bring it back to nerd radio nerddom, that's kind of the story about Whoopi Goldberg getting on Star Trek Next Generation.
Right.
You know, she contacted them when she found out that there was going to be another Star Trek. Michelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura, was an idol of her. So she now this is, you know, 1987. Whoopi Goldberg's a huge name in 87.
Yeah, did Jumpin' Jack Flash?
Yeah, so like she reaches out to the producers of Star Trek. I want to be on this show. They never called her back. She's bummed out about it. Watches the whole first season. Season two gets announced. She's like, I love Star Trek. I'm going to try it again. Calls them again, and they went, oh, you were serious. Absolutely, we'll find a role for you.
That's funny. I got all excited because I thought Al was going to say Whoopi Goldberg was on Nerd Radio or something. I was like, wow, how did I miss that? Whoopi Goldberg was on Nerd Radio to talk Star Trek?
Between you and
Jefferson. How did that not make the nation? TMZ should have been all over that crap.
Between you and Jefferson, we tried out Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And she didn't work out quite so well.
Yeah. I just spilled water down my front.
Well, that's not the first time this probably happened today.
Well done.
Old man Al.
We're going to let Al get dried up, and we're going to have Kenny in here. We're going to talk some E3. Stay tuned. Nerd Radio
Kenny
returns.
Towel off Al's crotch.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Nerd Radio.
I won nothing. I won absolutely nothing. There's no prize to win here. We're all losers. Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com, and social media at Nerd Radio 101, of course, is part of the B-Pod Studios Network. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Plus, everywhere. You can get us, rate and review us on iTunes. I haven't looked again, but I know last week I said I wanted to see at least double digits.
Oh, do you think we broke out of the seven?
I'll look it up while we're talking here. Kenny, joining us in the studio, you're kind of one of our video game gurus because
it feels good to be back.
You work at a GameStop, so you definitely have a foot in this particular pond. And this week especially is a big week for games because it is E3 week. We haven't heard everything yet because E3 is still going on. I don't think Sony's had their presentation yet.
No, Sony was not there this year.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
That's why Square Enix took their slot.
Okay, yeah. But I was going to say, like, Square Enix, Microsoft, Nintendo have all had their presentations. So let's kind of run down what they've announced at E3. Where do you want to start?
From what I could catch, I caught Ubisoft, Xbox, basically. And Xbox actually has it out I mean, they got a lot of stuff coming out.
I'm interested to talk to you about, because you have an Xbox One.
Yeah.
Right? And I know James played on Xbox One. Yep. Xbox was the first major thing that I would, because I would just check Twitter over the last couple of days to see, like, okay, what's going on? It's funny because these presentations are like a couple hours. And like,
an hour and a half.
Right. And I will just check Twitter afterwards and see, like, what were the highlights? Where are the videos, the trailers that I actually want to see? So Microsoft was the first ones out of the gate, and not being an Xbox person, I saw nothing that would make me go, man, I need an Xbox now.
Mm.
But that being said, like I said, both you guys are much more Xbox fans. They talked about the Scarlet.
Yeah, Project Scarlet.
Project Scarlet, which will be the next Xbox, is coming out next winter 2020.
2020.
Yep. And is going to have a new Halo attached to it.
Yeah.
Ugh. And that's always their lead, is the Halo, huh?
Yeah, it always is. But now that Bungie does not have anything to do with Halo, it's 343 Industries, which, you know, they took the story a little bit further than Bungie would have. Because Bungie's saying that we would have cut it off.
Right.
You know, so they're giving you more story on the Master Chief.
Yeah, there's another story with Master Chief, but also involving another guy with him in the story.
Okay.
Basically, like, this guy is... You know, did the whole Tony Stark thing from Avengers Endgame, stuck on a ship, and he finds Master Chief just floating there.
Okay.
So, and then come to find out Master Chief's been kind of hibernating and lost for so long that, you know, everything's been done that that we lost, you know, stuff like that. So he's going, you know, back to go kick some butt and make sure we win this time.
Just got it. Kill some more aliens.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what they basically showed.
Hide behind a rock until your shield charges.
That's right.
Yeah. Then emerge from the rock and shoot some more aliens until your shield goes away. Then hide behind the rock again. The aliens will never catch on.
I saw that they announced they're making a new Battletoads.
Oh,
what?
Yes.
Yep. No, there's a new Battletoads on the way.
Yes, they're bringing back Battletoads.
Sweet.
A lot of people were hating on it.
I saw it and I'm like, who asked for this?
Who doesn't? Well, I guess nobody asked for it, but I'm not going to complain.
Well,
nobody,
now you see James
nobody got
did.
Past the second level of the original Battletoads.
What would you deem the second level?
The bike level.
Oh, yeah, that
was
a tough
one.
Is it
the third or fourth level?
No, that was the second level. It was pretty tough.
The second level is when you go down the string through the...
Okay, fair enough. So it's the level.
Yeah,
there's the side-scrolling part, then you come down the string, and then you ride the bikes, and no one ever made it past the bikes!
So is there like two or three parts of the first level where you pop out and you're punching the thing? You got the robot on the stilts, and you punch, and then you pick up its leg, and you bash a couple other enemies over the head with it?
Right, and that's basically the thing. Those first two levels, I don't mind. They're hard, but they're good. They're fun.
Yeah.
But then you get to the bikes, and no one ever made it past the bikes.
No,
no
I
one.
Can never make
you
it past
can't convince
the bikes.
Me there's a game past those bikes.
But I feel like those first, whatever, maybe the first 2.5 levels, that killed a lot of time, man.
Yeah, it did.
Like, this still killed a lot of time. I feel like I got a lot of gameplay in. I might have only progressed through 2.5
like
levels.
10 minutes tops.
But I was watching
this is
the
bigger,
audience.
Bigger news than when they teamed the Battletoads up with the bad dudes or whatever. Double Dragon.
That was fun.
Yeah. I was watching the crowd's reaction, and you could tell the age difference in the crowd, especially when that Battletoads logo showed up.
Right.
You just seen a lot of the older crowds just go, oh.
Well, it's cool, too, because if you watch the video, James, which I'm sure you're going to do now.
Now that
we talked about it, it starts with that pooch, pooch, pooch,
yeah.
Yeah.
Pooch, pooch from Battletoads. Like, I don't remember if that's the continue sound music or what, but it's right from the original game. I'm like, oh, that's cute. I know this. The game itself, the new game looks neat. It looks like Cuphead. Like it's animated.
Yeah. Yeah,
it looks like
animated.
A cartoon.
You guys just got my nipples hard.
Right. So there's a new Battletoads on the way. What else was in the Microsoft thing that grabbed you? Because like I said, that was the only thing I was like, they're making a Battletoads? I don't know. All right.
Another one was Cyberpunk 2077.
Okay. That's not a Microsoft exclusive though, is it?
It was part of their
presentation, but that's going to be like that's going to be
PC.
Yeah,
it's going to be for all consoles.
It's going to be on the PS4, right?
Yep.
But that is super cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Of course, it was just watching. It was set back a couple of years. They introduced it, never heard anything from it ever again until Sunday.
Yeah, I feel like Cyberpunk 2077 has been talked about for a long time.
Yeah, it has.
You never see anything.
No, that was the thing. Was they did like a little teaser trailer, and that was it, and no mentions of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally released it on Sunday, and it was really good. Like, I was synced in.
Right.
Like, I'm actually going to play this when it comes out.
Now, is this because it actually looks entertaining or because you're on the
Keanu story.
Reeves bandwagon well, and everybody's like, I'm aboard now.
I'm certainly on the Keanu Reeves bandwagon.
Keanu Reeves.
As soon as he showed up in that trailer, everybody lost their mind. I kind of did. I was just like, John Wick. All right. We got John Wick with a metal arm.
Right.
And he actually came out on the stage, too, to talk about it more and how he was all stoked about it.
There's a real cute moment that I keep seeing on Twitter where somebody in the crowd shouted, "You're amazing." And he said, "You're amazing.
That's funny.
You're all amazing."
I would have just responded with, "Whoa, I am amazing."
But what type of game is this? Because
it is a open world RPG.
So essentially Fallout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, creators of Fallout.
Okay.
And well, mainly it's the creators of Witcher that is bringing this game out.
All right.
RPG, like a big sandbox, just like Fallout. Basically, is it post-apocalyptic or are we talking just like weird?
Yeah, futuristic, dark world.
Like, okay.
Kind of like...
I'm kind of getting over the whole post-apocalyptic stuff, guys.
Well, there seems to be a lot of it.
Like, how many times can we do the post-apocalyptic stuff? I'm having fun playing Rage 2 right now, post-apocalyptic. That's like, right. Rage 2 is giving me everything that I miss from Fallout 76 because there's actual interaction, so I don't feel so lonely and depressed. Far Cry's got a post-apocalyptic. Like, there's so many post-apocalyptic type like games that are out.
Right.
You're going to burn us out on it, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a genre, much like when, you know, the zombie genre blew up for movies and television shows. Like, after a while, it's like, okay, there's enough of this that I can start weeding through it.
I got enough zombie toilet paper. I don't need any more zombies in my life. I got the paper towels, the toilet paper. I got the video game. I got the cell phone case.
Well, it was like World War Z came out. So, I mean, everybody that asked me about World War Z, it's like Left 4 Dead, but World War Z theme, more of a horror coming at you. Everything you saw in World War Z is in that game.
We talked we talked briefly earlier in the show about Borderlands 3 is on the way and how cool it is that they released free downloadable content for a game that's 5 years old, Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
And that's so I'm looking forward to trying that out. That's going to be pretty fun. For me, the big news was yesterday when Nintendo had their thing. Like,
I missed that.
I am a dyed-in-wool Nintendo fanboy, and this just pumped me up even more. They announced that one of the next fighters in Super Smash Brothers is Banjo-Kazooie.
No, yeah, I seen that. I actually read that the other day.
Like a bear?
Like the bear with the bird on his backpack.
Oh, okay.
It was a rare soft game.
Kind of like a fat Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
But that's Amy loves the old Banjo-Kazooie game, so I showed her that video, and she was super pumped about that.
Is his name Banjo-Kazooie? I always
Banjo
thought it was Banjo
the bear,
and Kazooie.
And Kazooie is the bird.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I'm not crazy.
No, not at all.
Okay.
There's another Luigi's Mansion on the way, which is cool, but I've never played any of the other ones. So
Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah.
Luigi's a Ghostbuster in that game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Essentially. He's running with around a with a Ghostbuster vacuum.
Yeah. Suck you off, ghosts. That's Luigi talking.
They announced the thing that I got super pumped for is one of my favorite games way back in the day on the Sega Saturn was Panzer Dragoon, and they are remaking Panzer Dragoon for the Nintendo Switch.
Really?
Yes, the original Panzer Dragoon, the rail shooter, and it is beautiful. And I didn't see a release date on it, but I'm there day one, man.
It's probably going to be 2020 then.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I mean, we're kind of in the middle of.
We're already halfway through 2019. So
yeah. Right.
Just like everything else. Another one that I liked really good was Watch Dogs Legion.
Okay.
You know, but now they're not set on the now. They're planning ahead now in the future.
Right.
You're in a future London. And
so this is, once again, a kind of a future cyberpunk kind of game.
Yeah, and just now the hackers have formed a big legion, you know, kind of like the movie Hackers, Hack the Planet.
Yep. Hack the Planet.
Basically. And the trailer was really nice. Like, you see one guy doing his thing, the guy died. And they showed the player going through a list of other people, and then they just picked, like, a grandma. It's like, I remember back in my day.
I saw the video
here.
Of the grandma beating somebody up.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, get him, granny. Back in my day, you kids.
Right. I almost forgot, too. Square Enix had their announcements on Monday, and that was a huge deal because they showed more of the Final Fantasy VII remake and announced that is on its way in, I think, March? Yeah. In March 2020, and that's going to be episodic, so it sounds like maybe they'll split it up into the three discs, but you'll get disc one in March, and then a couple of months later...
more downloadable content.
They'll release the other discs as downloadable content, and we finally got a look at Marvel's Avengers,
which
Square Enix has been working on for the last, like, 2 years. It's a little bittersweet. Yeah. Because it's in the same year I'm getting Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 on my Switch, which they announced that the downloadable content for that is going to add a whole bunch of characters from like the Fantastic Four and the X-Men.
Ooh, nice.
And stuff. Yeah. So I'm already pumped about that game. And then on top of that, in March of next year, you're going to give me this Marvel's Avengers game. I always have a problem with these E3 videos because I can't tell what's gameplay anymore.
Yeah, but mainly it's mainly because they got someone behind the stage playing.
Yeah.
Kind of like if you saw the Gears of War 5.
Uh-huh.
They've already have that in testing because they did, they had Xavier Woods from Up, Up, Down, Down.
Yes.
AJ Styles. And then somebody else was with them too that was that's a big gamer too. I can't remember.
A lot of those wrestlers. You watch Up, Up, Down, Down on YouTube. Yeah. There's a lot of those wrestlers that are huge gamers, like the wrestler Asuka. She friggin' loves Monster Hunter.
Asuka, really?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, she's I would never put gamer. Her as a gamer.
There's quite a few
but
that
I
you're
can
like.
I see her playing Monster Hunter for whatever reason. Like, I don't vision her as a gamer.
Right.
But I could see her if she surprised. Was playing, she'd be playing
there's
Monster
that,
Hunter.
There's that Andrade's manager, Zelina Vega, the little tiny magazine. She loves Mortal Kombat.
Really?
Loves it.
Mm-hmm. I could see her playing a role as one of the Mortal Kombat chicks.
Yeah, she's cosplayed a Mortal Kombat chick so many times. There's so many, if you follow her on Instagram or something, she's got so many pictures of her as one of the girls from Mortal Kombat. But yeah, Gears of War. Back to Gears of War.
Yeah, Gears of War 5 is coming out, which looked really good. And from what I've been reading on it, it might be the last Gears of War game.
Yeah.
I say that every time a new Gears of War game comes
out. Yeah, I know.
Out.
Then they leave it open for another one.
Like, this is the last Gears of War ever. We're not doing that anymore. Gears of War.
I feel here's like Judgment, a different part of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we've had that with Halo a few times, too.
Yeah, how many times have we seen Halo's done?
This is the last run of Master Chief.
We are done with Halo.
They also showed Doom Eternal, the sequel to the
yeah, that
new,
was really good.
The new Doom relaunch. I would be more excited about that if it didn't give me motion sickness.
Yeah.
First, is it VR?
I don't think so.
Or do
no,
you get motion sickness from the regular Doom?
Oh, yeah. First person shooters can set me right off.
Really?
Oh, I have a buddy that's like that, too. He can't watch me play.
Yeah.
Oh,
unfortunately. That's why, well, Gears of War is a franchise I'm not into because I tried playing the first one, and the way the camera would swing around and zoom in whenever you chainsaw somebody, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I can't do this.
It's like, no!
Gears of War, this might make me sound like a real sissy, but I was, like, I'm scared of playing scary video games. Like,
yeah.
It scares me.
Oh, then you would hate the next one I have.
Gears of War, I, like, bit the bullet, because when I first started to try to lose weight,
right.
I had an elliptical machine set up in my basement, so I put it right in front of the Xbox.
Yep.
It was probably a 360 at the time.
I've seen people do that with World of Warcraft.
Yeah, and I put Gears of War in, and I'm like, I'm going to play this on the elliptical. I lost weight like you wouldn't believe playing this game, but I'd be on the elliptical, like, jump-scaring, almost falling off.
Off
with stupid things, like with one of these big monsters that would fly through the walls, and you'd have to wait for them to come at you, and I almost killed myself. But Gears of War is a special game to me because, like...
Because you lost weight playing it.
Well, I lost weight playing it, but I also faced my fear. I faced my fear of the scary video game.
It's funny to me that you, like, you've got F Stuff Up Friday.
Yeah.
Where you're dipping your toe in the realm of, you know, streaming games and stuff like that. But, like, a majority of game streamers, like, scary games is your bread and butter.
Yeah, because
people watch you play
watch
it so they
jump scares. Yeah.
Whenever something jumps out.
That's how I get my view on a scary game is I'm watching other people doing it and seeing their reactions. I'm like, yep, I'm buying it.
Yeah, that's
right.
Funny.
which is hilarious, too, because I can't tell you how many, like, the Five Nights at Freddy's series. I own 3 out of 5 of them. I think I've beaten one. Like, I can't do it.
You beat them? Are they that scary?
I beat the first one. Oh, they're amazing.
Because I want to
They're all jump scares,
I
though.
I want to get the VR.
That's going to kill you.
I'm going to have a heart attack.
You're going to have a heart attack and die. Cody's going to come home and the dog's just going to be licking your face.
I'll just be down on the ground dead in a man thong with a PS4 thing on my head.
James, why is a teddy bear in the garbage disposal?
If you see James is going to play Five Nights at Freddy's, please watch that stream and keep an eye on him because if he falls out of frame, you got to call the cops for him.
Yeah, I need my Twitch viewers to call the police.
Call the police!
One of you tag me on Twitter so I can like go to his house and check on him.
Right, and one of us will go check on him.
Right.
And somebody will pull the clip and just upload it to YouTube and
that's right.
It'll go viral, but I'm dead.
Streamer in Manthong has heart attack.
Manthong streamer dies.
Be part of
mid-stream.
One of those
goes viral.
Fails and wins on, on Twitch.
Yep.
Was there anything else you want to talk about, Kenny?
Yeah, there's also, as you were talking about scary games. Blair Witch, they got a game coming out.
Okay. Well, and that doesn't scare me too much.
It looks really good.
Looks pretty scary.
Okay.
Never mind then.
I don't want to retract that statement.
No, it looks like it'd be real good. It looks like it's a good replacement for the Silent Hill game we never got.
Yeah. the way how I seen the how the trailer
Silent
was.
Silent Hill. I couldn't even that first one.
The original PlayStation.
Yeah, I tried playing that. I was like,
it was
too scary. Too scary.
But
let's go back to this game, WWE Raw or whatever it was. Raw's
right?
War.
Let's get into about you know the consoles that are coming that they're been talking about.
Sure.
Like, I want to do a comparison though with Project Scarlet and PS5.
Okay.
Especially with stuff I've been reading up and told, like Project Scarlet is going to, you know, put away the Xbox One X.
Yes.
Which they're saying is going to be basically almost the same, but a little bit greater.
Right.
They're also releasing a cloud.
Yeah.
So as soon as you buy a game, 3 seconds, you can play it. Loading time.
Okay, so
you don't
not
have
saving
to wait an hour to download and install a game.
Yeah, because
it's not always an hour, but I feel like every time I get a game,
right,
pop it in. Well, I got 45 minutes to burn because I gotta wait for this to download and install and do.
But
all
you,
that
you
stuff.
Also have to make sure you have a solid internet connection to use that cloud.
Well, what's cool about it is those, if even if you uninstall the game from your system, it's still going to be there for you to just go to it and play.
That's excellent.
Okay, that's cool.
You know, which is awesome.
Let's stick with the Scarlet.
Yeah, the Scarlet. Is going to be backwards compatible, of course.
That's what I'd heard, is that they're going all the way back to the first Xbox.
Yeah,
God. Like,
you can just
Xbox.
Pop. Now, is that you can pop an Xbox One game into the disk drive and it'll just read it and go?
Yeah, just
I heard they're going to go completely diskless.
They're kind of trying not to.
Okay.
Keep, you know, those sales, of course. Because
I like to buy the disk. I want the disk.
Yeah. Right. We talked about that last week.
Share, so.
When the internet goes down, when all these streaming services are gone.
I'm going to be the guy in the apocalypse that's got the entertainment for sale. And
sucks when I ain't got internet and I'm all digital. And it's just like, damn.
I'll be an entertainment pimp of the future.
But, it's going to be backwards compatible for Xbox One, 360, and the original Xbox.
Yep.
But the kicker that they threw for it as well, backwards compatible accessories for the Xbox One.
Okay, what does that mean?
So, like, everything that came out for the accessory-wise for Xbox One is going to go to Scarlet.
You're going to be able to, like, plug an Xbox One, the giant Xbox One controller, into the Scarlet, and it'll work.
Custom Simpsons donut controller will live to see another system! Best $100 investment ever!
I was quite jealous on that.
Well, you should be. It's a
and
sweet controller.
Sony, with their PS5, is... Oh. PS4 is going to be backwards compatible for PS5.
And that's it. They're not going to like the
it's
3
like
or the 2 or the 1.
Anything else?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's just the PS4.
it's like, no, that's it.
But it is games and software or games and hardware from what I believe I read.
So you'll be able to, your wireless PS4 controllers will
work
still
on the PS5. The PSVR will still be compatible with the PS5. So that was my big thing. I was like, did I just spend all this money on
I'm kind of glad we've gotten to a point with the games where like the controller hardware, like they're not adding more and more buttons now. Like
yes,
they can add a little bit of bells and whistles, but it's not to the point where like, okay, well, the last one had 14 buttons, so this one has 21 buttons.
Yeah, now let's just make it light up and vibrate. So, you know, that's
right.
All. Which changes it
comes to the new Elite coming out, the new Elite controller for Xbox. Going to have grips on it, even on the triggers, which I don't know why.
So it doesn't slip out of your slippery hands.
I don't have a problem with
you don't sweat. Your hands don't sweat when you're holding the controller. You're ready to get that victory royale and Fortnite
the
or the crown royale and Realm Royale.
The chicken dinner.
The chicken dinner and PUBG. Whatever the Call of Duty version, Blackout, whatever they call
Blackout.
That victory.
Right.
It's just you won.
They're like, congratulations.
Yeah, they're not going too hard in that one.
But and it's going to have 3 different modes that you can program to the controller instead of going through your Xbox as you do for all the flips, the flippers on the bottom.
Okay.
But now you can, you know, do the settings like I want it on loadout 1, 2, 3, you know, stuff like that. But you just hit the button on the controller for those.
Huh.
Shortened trigger pulls, you know, and the same thing for the top bumpers.
Right.
As well, I'm like, really? We need to shorten the bumper pull? And just clicks.
It doesn't feel that it's, you know, those millimeters that you have to pull it in order to pull that trigger.
It's
that big.
Same look, but just a little bit more add-ons.
Interesting.
To it now.
Interesting.
Which is nice, which I can't really spend $150 on that controller because I don't see why.
I would definitely
say... But a donut controller, I will spend $100 for.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would definitely say system-wise, there's definitely more right now to the next generation of Xbox than there is
the PlayStation. Yeah, they're saying price-wise between PS5 and Scarlet is about to going to be the same.
Yeah.
So they just Sony has not revealed if there's going to be a Pro Edition for the PS5 or anything like that.
Sure.
So.
Well, what's the difference between the Pro Edition of the PS4 compared to just a PS4?
Is it a larger hard drive?
Just like a 1080p or something?
Yeah, like the 4K and stuff like that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Basically, if you have a 4K TV, you can get a Pro and it'll play.
Gotcha. Because I know like now they're going to be up to 8K. Was it the Xbox is going to be? I'm like, how many Ks are there going to be?
Right. Yeah, right.
Like, you can already see the pimples on the ass when you know you're playing.
I know. I just got a 4K TV, so I'm just like, holy crap! Yeah. I was playing Far Cry 5. It's just like, wow.
That's it comes in pretty.
This
huh?
is what I was missing.
Yeah, I haven't played Far Cry 5 on mine, but I played the Primal one, and I was like, wow, I actually feel like a caveman in a caveman land. It's right. So realistic.
But then back to the games. For Gears of War, they teased about Terminator being in it.
Ooh.
So I don't know if he's going to be like a multiplayer character.
Right.
Or embedded in the story somehow.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
Right. And then Breaking Point, Ghost Recon, they had Shane/Punisher talk about it for Tom Clancy.
John Bernthal?
Yeah.
Excellent. And he's going to be in that one?
Yeah, he's one of the main characters in Wildlands right now is a teaser. Like an intro to the game of how everything went down.
Right.
To where the ghosts are on the run. They got these guys called the Wolves hunting them down, which is a rogue squadron, like the ghosts.
Right.
And they were teasing it and showing it, in which it looks really good. You get shot, you're going to be limping, you know, until you get fixed up and whatnot. They're bringing back the AIs for squad, which everybody was stoked because they said, oh, we're taking them out. And then they're like,
right.
No. And then he walks back out and goes, oh, yeah, we have one more thing. They teased Terminator in Breaking Point by showing the skull and saying, good luck.
So the Terminator is going to be in two different games or this is all in the
two different games? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he's going to be in Gears of War 5.
Yeah.
And Ghost Recon Breaking Point.
Interesting.
So I actually.
So the Terminator's done. We're done with the Terminator now.
I'm thinking just because of the new movie.
The Terminator has jumped the shark. We are done with the Terminator.
Right. Right. He's just going to be everywhere.
You know?
But I was just like, great. First, I got hunted by a Predator, and now I got to get hunted, by a Terminator.
Maybe put the Terminator in Mortal Kombat or something. I'd enjoy that. You know, let me fight as a Terminator, but.
Oh, did you guys, speaking of Mortal Kombat, did you see the Shang Tsung?
No,
trailer?
I'm not.
Oh. Mm-mm. The original actor from the movie is doing the voice. They actually embedded him in the game as well.
Yeah, that was that's the thing everyone's been pointing out with the Marvel Avengers, the Square Enix game, is that they didn't get anybody that's been in any of the movies to be in these games.
They probably can't afford them.
So, like, even the characters don't really resemble the characters that you've watched in the movies over the last 10 years. Is like, that's Iron Man. That's Iron Man armor, something like that. But then the Tony Stark model is it doesn't look a thing like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
They probably had to not do that for fear of legal reasons.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They'd have to pay each one of those actors and actresses a bunch of cash.
Yeah.
You'd at least think they'd do like the move that Disney did with the Genie and Robin Williams, just get a voice actor that has a similar sounding voice.
Right.
Do an impersonation of Tony Stark.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then Xbox announced Game Pass for PC as well with Microsoft.
Yeah, so now you'll be able to play some of your Xbox games on your PC.
Yep. They added some new games like Hollow Knight, Arkham Knight, a bunch of other lists that was I looked on the marketplace. But then they announced Game Pass Unlimited. You pay $1 to start this.
Okay.
And it goes with your subscription. So as soon as your subscription ends with Xbox Live Gold, Game Pass ends.
Oh.
So instead of people buying, you know, 3 months, 6 months, you're going to get it all.
You know, the funny thing is I just canceled my Xbox Live.
Well, now you're going to have to get it.
Because I have to get it. I've just been playing the 360, and I haven't hooked my 360 to the internet in over a year. So I'm like, well, I don't need to pay for Xbox Live.
So are you saying the Game Pass is going to come along with your Xbox Live subscription?
For a dollar.
Yeah, for when you start it up for a dollar. You start it up for a dollar, and then it goes along with your subscription until it ends.
So if I start it now for $1, I won't have to do anything with it as long as I keep renewing my Xbox Live.
Yep.
That's pretty sweet. Cool.
There's more details, you know, when you go look at it.
It's right. $1 one time.
That's what it's, I mean,
like
that's
it's
from what
too
I'm
to
getting.
True. So I'm feeling like my scam senses are going off. Like,
oh, I know. Especially when
Microsoft,
I'm reading it.
And what's the catch?
My boss was even telling me about it. And I'm just like, I have to look in more about this.
Yeah, I need to know more about that.
Because that is a hell of a deal, because I don't ever let my Xbox Live subscription elapse. You know, that's always renewed. Yeah, it was just
Microsoft kept announcing more stuff after their press release.
After they were supposed to be done.
Yeah, after their press release. They just kept adding more stuff after they were done.
They're just piling it on,
it's
huh?
just like, stop! What else? You were supposed to do this earlier.
Cool.
Right. You had your time.
Yeah, and it's just like, now I got to read about this, and I'm like, what? Like, even my boss, like, how long is your Xbox? I'm like, I don't know. Why? And he goes, then he told me about the Unlimited. I'm like,
the Game Pass?
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, I'll pay that $1 right now and just hurry up and...
Well, speaking of having our time, we have had our time here on Nerd Radio this week. Thank you for coming in, Kenny.
Yeah, thanks, Kenny.
Looking forward
feels
to
good to be back.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you on again a couple weeks from now to talk some more gaming stuff. But in the meantime, rate and review us on iTunes and follow us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. We'll be back next week with another episode of Nerd Radio.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, thank nerds. You.
And we're out.
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Okay.
Hey!
Oh, hashtag Bruce Wang.
Bruce Wang. That got me when you said that.
Wang.
Because I picture an Asian guy who thinks he's Batman with a huge wiener.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.